Father, bless these words in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians 2. In verse 8, the Word of God says, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You are saved by grace. And you enter into grace by faith. In other words, you trust grace, you believe it, you trust it, and thereby you have salvation by means of grace. And that means you're going to go to heaven when you die. That means that you grow as a believer. That means that the things that used to perhaps be problems will stop eventually being problems. That means God's going to start doing things for you, and so on and so forth. All the things that come along with being a Christian, you enter them by grace. So, a lot of us appreciate grace. We talk about grace. We love grace. But sometimes not everybody completely understands what grace is. What is grace? Well, because a lot of people don't really understand grace, I want to make sure you guys do understand grace. And I'm not going to tell you everything there is to tell you about grace in a few minutes, but I can give you some of the basic stuff. In other words, I can tell you the really important stuff that you need to know about grace that all the other stuff is built on. And there's three things I'm going to tell you about grace. And those three things are actually what the definition of grace is. Grace has three parts. Sometimes people think grace is just one part, but it actually has three parts. It's almost like three dimensions. You know, like, you take a box or a ball and it has three dimensions, right? It has height, width, and length. Well, grace has three dimensions also. Without all three parts, it's not really grace. It can be grace-like in some ways, but it's not really grace. Grace, in order to be grace, has to have all three parts. So when we talk about grace, we're talking about this thing that's made of three parts. The first part is what we call unmerited favor. In other words, favor from God that you don't deserve. Now, when I say favor, I don't mean like you say to somebody, "Hey, can you do me a favor?" No, favor from God is a whole lot better than that. Favor from God means God is always going to do things and look at you in a way that is positive. He's never negative toward you. He's always positive toward you. In other words, He always thinks well of you. He always sees you in a good light. It doesn't matter if you fall flat on your face. God thinks you are Superman or Superwoman. He thinks you're fabulous. He just loves you. He accepts you. And He does it just because He loves you. You can be a mess, and God's going to love you anyway. What God does for you, you don't deserve. You can't earn it. That's why you don't deserve it. Now, I'm not saying you're nasty or bad or anything like that when I'm saying you don't deserve it. I'm saying it can't be deserved. There's no way to deserve it. Because we are human beings. We're not made in such a way that we could deserve it. And so it's always something that we don't have to worry about deserving. Sometimes people try to deserve grace. Sometimes people try to deserve things from God. That's not how you approach God. God is not interested in whether you deserve it. God is interested in the fact that He loves you. He will do things for you. He will give you things because you trust Him. He doesn't do it because you deserve it. You can't earn it. There's nothing we can do to earn it. It's like saying, okay, this thing costs this much money, and if I can come up with this much money, I can buy that thing. Well, that would be earning it. But God is saying there's nothing that you can come up with that will cause me to love you, that will cause me to do things for you, that will cause me to see you as wonderful or whatever. You can't do anything to get that. You can't earn it. So we know that grace is for free, and because it's for free, it's a gift. You don't have to deserve gifts. You don't have to earn them. They're just given to you. Now, that's the first characteristic of grace. It's really important that you understand that characteristic. That characteristic gives a lot of people trouble. They want to earn it, and they can't. They say, if I'm good enough, I'll get to heaven. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Be really good and you'll get to heaven. No. That's not how you get to heaven. It's like saying, go through the door over there and you'll get outside. No, the door over there leads to the bathroom. That's definitely not outside. But that's the kind of thinking it actually is. When you say, if you're good enough, you can get things from God. If you're good enough, you can get to heaven. If you behave yourself really well. No, that's Santa Claus. That's not God. God and Santa Claus, two completely different everything. But we treat God as though He's Santa Claus. No. God is God. He is different. He thinks differently than people do. We're told, if you do a good job in school, you'll get good grades. If you get good grades, you'll get to a better college. If you get to a better college, you'll have a better job. All those things. Okay, that may be how it works with the world, but it's not how it works with God. With God, you don't have to worry about earning it. You don't have to worry about deserving it. God will always be on your side. He'll always come through for you. He'll always love you. He'll always accept you. He will always help you. He'll always take care of you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. He'll always give it to you. The way you approach God is faith. That's why it's grace through faith. That's what God's looking for. He's not looking for you to deserve it. He's looking for you to trust Him. That's the first thing about grace. Now, when we trust God, in Ephesians 1:7, one of the results of that is that He gives us forgiveness of our sins, and He takes care of us, and He removes everything that we make a mistake in, every sin we have, He removes it from us, and He completely accepts us in Ephesians 1:6. That's a part of not earning it. That's a part of the gift that God gives. And He does it that way because if we could earn it, we'd start bragging about it. In other words, we'd start thinking we're all that in a bag of chips. People who think they're all that in a bag of chips never actually are. Now, guys, I will tell you right now, learn this soon because it will help you in life. Arrogance makes people stupid. It does. People who are arrogant, in other words, people who think they're better than everybody else, smarter than everybody else, whatever more than everybody else, it makes people stupid. Those two things are deeply connected. What God is saying here, you can't earn it so you don't become arrogant. Sometimes people get very arrogant, and I'll tell you now, if you see somebody who's arrogant, watch out, you're looking at somebody who's stupid. And you can have people get into some pretty high positions and they are stupid because they are arrogant. It works like that every time. Arrogance makes you stupid. Don't ever get arrogant. I don't think you guys will. But if you see someone who's arrogant, know something about them. Okay, this person's stupid. Never be intimidated by arrogant people. It's like being intimidated by a moron. I have an IQ of 2. Oh, that's intimidating. Well, that's like talking to somebody who's arrogant. It's all by grace. You can't earn anything. You don't have to. It's freely given. It's a gift. The second thing is in Ephesians 2:7. It says that in the ages to come, God will show us the exceeding riches of His grace in kindness. The second characteristic of God's grace is that He's extraordinarily kind. In order to be kind, it also means he's extremely patient, because patience always comes before kindness. If you're ever sure if things aren't going well for you for a little while in life, is God mad at me? The answer is no. God is not mad at you. Can God get mad at people? He sure can. But he doesn't get mad at the people who trust him. He gets mad at people for not trusting him. That's what makes God mad. If I don't want to trust God and I want to go after other things and I want to forget about God, that'll make him mad. And some people are crazy enough to do that. But those people who trust God, even though maybe they don't always get everything right, God will never be mad at them. God will always be very patient and very kind toward people like that. No matter what you encounter in life, God will always be very patient with you and God will always be very kind toward you. Don't ever think to yourself, God's going to be mad at me. No, he's not. That's not how God is. People might get mad at you. God won't. God is different than people. Sometimes we think God is like a person, like a human being. No, God is so much better than any human being. God is so much kinder than any human being. There'll be times when I have to scratch my head and wonder, why is God so kind to me? And the reason why he's kind to us is because he loves us. And he doesn't love us because of us per se. We're the target of love. He loves us because that's his character. That's what he does. That's who he is. So because it's who he is, we never have to be afraid of him. Now, the Bible says to fear him, but that word fear doesn't mean to be afraid of him. That word fear means highly respect him. And he does want us to respect him. One of the reasons why we do trust him is because we respect him. People who don't trust him don't actually respect him, because they don't think that he'll do what he says he does, or that he is the way he says he is. And they don't respect him. But if you trust him, it's because you respect him. That's why he says, fear me. That word fear means respect. But don't be afraid. I'm afraid of certain things. Personally, I don't like heights. Why? Because I could just see myself going right over the cliff. You know, it's like you get clumsy, you stumble, there you go, forget it. Went to the Grand Canyon one time. It's a mile up, a cliff a mile high. That's an incredible cliff. And you can get to the edge of it, and I'm like, okay, I'm about 20 feet away. That's good enough for me. Why? Because it's one of those things that can put fear in your heart. You just know you can go over a little breeze, and there you go. So I kind of stay away from that. With God, it's not like that. You can go running up to God. You don't have to be afraid of him. You don't have to think he's going to hurt you. You don't think he's going to be mad at you. He don't think he's going to hold something against you. I just made a big mistake, God, and God says, come here and tell me all about it so I can fix it for you. And he gets excited when you come to him. Even with your problems, even with mistakes. Even if, God forbid, you sin, run to him anyway, because he's the one who can fix it, and he wants to fix it. He's never going to shake his finger. You know what you did, and we're going to have to sit down and talk about this. No, not with God. Not with God. With God, you just say, God, I sinned. He said, yeah, I know, that's the end of that. And that's over. Simple as that. It's just over. So you can always run to him. You can always tell him about it. And you know he's going to help you in it. Now, sometimes people don't want to go to God because they think a mistake they made is their own fault. And so, well, if it wasn't my fault, I couldn't go to him. But I did this myself. I got news for you. Almost every mistake we make is our fault. God's not worried about that. God doesn't worry about fault. We worry about fault, not God. God says, you know what? I don't care whose fault it is. I don't care if it's your fault. It doesn't matter to me. He just wants you to come to him. And if you come to him, he fixes it. Why? Because he's kind. Kindness is the second characteristic, that second part of grace. Now in Hebrews 4:16, we have the third part of grace. That's the throne of grace. A throne is where a ruler sits when he's in charge of a government. Grace is a government. That means that if grace is operational, if grace is there, then it can rule over my life. Now, that is a huge advantage. Several years ago, in the Iraq War, there was a young woman who was a private in the army. And she was captured by the enemy. And they had broken her legs, and so they also injured her, and she couldn't take care of herself very well. In other words, she couldn't begin to even think about escaping because she couldn't move. And so she was in a lot of trouble in the hands of her enemies, and these people had no problems with killing her if anything at all went wrong. And they had captured her. And then, one day, several soldiers, Army Rangers, I think it was, maybe they were the Green Beret, but I think it was the Rangers, a whole bunch of them volunteered, and they came in, and they had a shootout with the enemy, and they rescued her. They risked their own lives to rescue her. Why? Because she was important to them. They didn't know her, but she was important to them. That is how a government functions. Governments have authority and they have power and they have a way to do things. Our government has a military, a lot of them do. God has angels. You could say, in a manner of speaking, then when it's necessary, the angels become God's military. And there are actually angels that do go to war. Michael is the general of those angels, this angel named Michael. When God's government is in place in your life, things are going to happen on your behalf. God will send angels to take care of you. God is going to use his resources to help you. God is going to give you things out of his own wealth. Because God has the power to do things, God will do things for you. That's the first part of his government. The second part of his government comes through his word. It starts to be a government in your personal life. Now, that doesn't mean that it's something you don't want to do. No, it becomes something you do want to do. The word of God creates a way of thinking in your mind. And it puts thoughts into your mind and it gives you the ability to think so you can make right decisions. When your thinking is on the basis of God's word, then you have a government of grace in your life. So number one, it'll take care of you, and number two, it'll teach you how to think. Now, I'll tell you right now, one of the biggest problems in the world is that people don't always know how to think. They'll have thoughts, but the thoughts aren't good. They're not useful. God's word will give you useful thoughts that will benefit you, and that can be extremely useful. And so God's government takes care of you by giving you the right thoughts to make the right decisions, and then by also taking care of you by God's ability. You guys understand those three parts? Okay, so it's something you can't deserve. That's the first part. It's a gift. Okay, the first part. It's the kindness of God, the second part. And it's a government that works in you and for you. That's the third part. You guys got that? Okay, that's it for today.